I was a history major, so be prepared. This is a big week in American history. There are a lot of very important historical anniversaries this week. Last Thursday, April 9th, was the 150th anniversary of General Robert E. Lee surrendering the armies of the Northern Virginia to General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. 150 years ago on Thursday, the Civil War came to an end. Probably didn't know about that if you read the paper, because there wasn't anything in there about it. Today is a very big anniversary. It was 70 years ago today, April 12, 1945, that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt suddenly died at Warm Springs, Georgia. It was an enormous shock to the nation as this beloved man passed away very unexpectedly. Tuesday is an extremely important anniversary in the history of the United States. Tuesday is the 150th anniversary of the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. Just 5 days after the Civil War ended, President Lincoln was struck down. These were huge stories back then, but today a lot of people, they don't even know these stories. They have passed from their memory. But we have to understand, and leading into what I want to talk about with Easter, how big these events were when they actually happened, even if you and I were not there to see them. This is a proclamation from a newspaper in Chicago on April 10th, 1865, the day after General Lee surrendered. Notice what they've done. Think it's a big deal? They've declared this a Jubilee year. It's only one day. But they're using the biblical image of a Jubilee year. They're going to shoot off 200 cannon to celebrate. I love these next bits. All the citizens of Chicago were ordered to prepare to sing and rejoice. Boy, I wish we could use that here at church. And not only that, but they were expected to sing patriotic songs, and then all businesses were ordered closed at 2 o'clock. You think that would work today? And notice who it comes from? By order of the people. We're all ordering. The day FDR died was a tragic day for the United States. A famous photograph of a man as President Roosevelt's body is being loaded onto a hearse down in Georgia. Devastated. My mother was a young woman at that time, but she still has in her collection of memorabilia her diary, her calendar from that day. And all it says on it is FDR died. Because for many people my mother's age, he was the only president they had ever had. He'd been president for 12 years. With the war in Germany and the Pacific coming to an end, President Roosevelt died just weeks before victory. President Lincoln's assassination was a hugely tragic event for the nation. Again, the nation was just starting to celebrate the end of the war when he was struck down. And his funeral procession took over a month. There were funeral processions and services in cities all across the United States as his body was taken back to Springfield, Illinois. This is a very famous photograph. This is the funeral procession of President Lincoln in New York City. And it's hard to tell, and I'm sorry if you're on the screen over there, but up there is a picture of a window with a little boy in it. And that little boy is none other than 7-year-old Theodore Roosevelt, who would become the 26th president of the United States. It's an amazing photograph. And he remembered that event, and it shaped him for his entire life. There was a special train that took President Lincoln's body back to Springfield, stopping at every major city and many small ones along the way. Such was this powerful, powerful event. Now, these are things that happened that shook the nation. But do people remember those things? Do we remember the important events? One more very important date, February 25th, 1974. And on that date, I looked at my high school sweetheart, June, and said, "You know what? It's been 6 months since we started going out." And what did she say? What is with some people? But we need to understand that's what happens when it comes to historical events, things in the past. If I wasn't there, we don't really care about it. But what I want to stress today when I talk about Easter is this. things that happened in the past, even if we necessarily were not there to see them, they are important. And what has happened in the past has a continued effect to the present. To this day, we as a nation, we feel what happened 150 years ago in the Civil War. It still affects our nation. What President Roosevelt did in his 12 years in office still affects us today, all these years later. And when it comes to Easter, we need to understand that this proclamation from nearly 2,000 years ago that he is risen, it is still powerful for all of us today. And that is why I love this story of Doubting Thomas. The story of a man who had to see it himself to believe it, and what his story tells to you and to me. The story begins this way with a very important line. It says, on the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered in the house, presumably where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. And John tells us, they met in the house and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus' disciples are afraid that what happened to Jesus is going to happen to them, that they will be killed as well. They gather with fear and trembling. All their hopes, all their expectations of Jesus have been devastated and destroyed. And suddenly, in an instant, Jesus is in the room with them. And his first words to them are not, "Where were you guys on Friday?" But his first words to them are, "Peace be with you." And he gives to them the power of the Spirit, and he gives to them the power to forgive sins in his name, and he tells them to go and tell others about this. And the disciples in that moment are transformed. Their lives are changed forever, except for Thomas. Because you see, for some reason, he was not there. And when the rest of the disciples say, "We've seen the Lord, he was in the room, it was amazing, and he told us this, and he gave us the Spirit," Thomas says to them, and in the Greek, he says it in a very emphatic way, "Unless I can see this with my own eyes, unless I can stick my fingers in the nail holes, unless I can stick my hand in the spear wound, there is absolutely no way on God's green earth I will ever believe." Period. He simply will not believe unless he sees himself. A week later, John tells us, the disciples again are in the room. And the door was closed. And what happens? Jesus appears. And he appears and he says to Thomas, "Okay, Thomas, here I am." And I imagine he held out his arms and showed the nail wounds. And what does Thomas do? And the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I just imagine Thomas falling on his knees like to Jesus, like in this picture, and just gasping, "My Lord and my God." That's Thomas's response. And what does Jesus say to Thomas? "Do you believe because you see me, Thomas? Well, you know what? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And in the last verses of this story, John speaks to his target audience, the people he really wants to hear and understand this story. And you know who his target audience is? You and me. It's everyone who was not there to see this with their own eyes. He wants us to know the power of this event that happened so long ago. John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." He could have written so much more. In fact, at the very last verse of John's gospel says that if we wanted to tell all the stories of Jesus, the world couldn't contain all those books. But then he says this, "But these are written so that you," that's us, "may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." You see, John is not just out telling us an interesting story about something that happened a long time ago. He is sharing with us words that bring faith and life. And that is the importance of what this story of Easter is all about. Through the years, I have tried to imagine what it was like for Thomas in that moment. And what went through his head. And what was he thinking? And what was he feeling? What happened to him? in that moment when he would never be the same again. And that's what the Easter effect is. And that's what the Easter effect still is for you and for me. Because those who witnessed this event 2,000 years ago, they truly never would be the same again. The world would never be the same again. This was for them the ultimate wow moment. When things change, when they experience something that is so amazing, they will not be the same. I'll always remember on a June afternoon over 20 years ago when our custodian at church came up to me and said, "Do you know where I was 50 years ago today?" And I said, "Where?" Said, "I was on a landing craft in the English Channel about to go in the second wave on D-Day." And I went, "Wow." And I said, "Tell me the story." And I just heard the story. He lived the story. My sister Fran had a wow moment in 1965 when she saw the Beatles live at Metropolitan Stadium in Minneapolis. And 50 years later, she still got the tickets. Talk about a wow moment. A wow moment is when you are affected and you are changed and you are never the same. And that's what Easter is all about. Not just for Thomas and the disciples, but I pray for you and for me as well. Because when we still hear this story so many years later, I pray that the words that escape our lips are the same as Thomas's. And we gasp, "Jesus, you are my Lord and my God." And I pray that we all know that feeling, that this declaration of what Easter is, it brings new life to us. The disciples in that moment are transformed forever. They would never be the same. And as I said, the world would never be the same because of them. We heard today this passage from Acts chapter 4 about what it was like for those first Christians in the weeks and months after the resurrection. I love this line, where Luke, the author of the book of Acts of the Apostles, says, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. The resurrection bound them together." And it did something else for them. It gave to them the ability to be amazingly generous. We're told that they actually sold their property and gave the money to the church so that no one in the church was lacking anything. They were changed by the good news of the resurrection, and others were changed by the way they were changed by the good news of the resurrection. Because, you see, the resurrection of Jesus gave them freedom, and it still gives us freedom today. Think of all the things that enslave us, all the things that chain us up, all the things that hold us down. When we truly grasp this message, we are freed from those things. The little thing in the gospel text. But did you notice what we're told with that second time the door is locked? There's no fear. It's not locked out of fear of the Jews anymore. I love this verse from 1 John. We're reminded that perfect love drives out all fear. It casts it out. And that's what Easter does when we truly believe it. That we don't need to fret and worry about all the little things about which we fret and worry. Because Jesus has been raised. And we have life in His name. It's my prayer that every one of us knows this. We feel it. We believe it. It is what has motivated us in the past and what will motivate us in the future. This declaration of Easter, even though it's 2,000 years ago, this declaration which resonates to this very day, He is risen. That's the power of what Easter is all about. Amen.